Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Good afternoon, High Hopes listeners. Unfortunately, due to a technical error, the beginning of today's podcast was cut off and was not recorded properly. So we missed James's, you know, just an absolutely perfect yo to celebrate this six-game win streak. I apologize. It won't happen again. And without further ado, yo, it is the High Hopes Podcast.
Yes, it feels like they have just completely kind of settled into the season. Like, they played some terrible teams. We get it. Like, I don't need to hear, ooh, the White Sox and Rockies. By the way, the White Sox are atrocious.
They're so extra bad.
So you would probably know this because you watched the team live, I'm sure.
Is this 1923 or something like that?
Which who has the least amount of wins in the history of baseball?
So the Cleveland Spiders have the least. I believe they won 20 games in the season, but that was pre-1900. Yeah, so I
didn't the 62 Mets? Or the
62
first?
Mets are the ones post-1900 with the least wins, I believe. I think they won
50-something?
40. No. I mean, the worst of it was like the Tigers won 43 in 2003. So it's not that long ago that we've had an all-time horrendous.
Wasn't Richie Ashburn on
43 and 119 the 2003 Tigers? How about that?
I believe Richie Ashburn was on the 62 Mets.
I think he was. I think there were four. I think they won 40 the 62 Mets, if I'm not mistaken. It's pretty bad.
Well, either way, we might be seeing a team challenging.
Oh, buddy,
for that. They have three wins,
buddy.
And the three, like Michael Kopech had a pitch yesterday. By the way.
Back a little bit. Michael Kopech, back a little bit.
I'm kind of in on the White Sox bullpen. Just letting everyone know. Getting that one out of the way. I'll put that in the take vault.
There you go.
But, dude, they're terrible. Like, and Jerry Reinsdorf is never going to pay anyone.
What an embarrassment of an owner. I mean, well, just a complete and total
it's like
travesty.
Chicago is a huge market.
Massive, yeah.
And it's just like there's one team that just actively doesn't participate.
Mm-hmm. Don't care. Don't try. Again, we've talked about this before, but they signed Andrew Benintendi. Was it last offseason to a 5-year, $75 million contract? The biggest contract in the history of their franchise. Taiwan Walker got $3 million less than the most they've ever given anyone. The Phillies have like nine guys making more than that.
Well, it's just shocking to me. I mean, because a couple years ago, I was like, man, I would trade places with the White Sox right now.
Oh, yeah. Like, that team, the La Russa team with the Luis Robert and who's still there. But like Eloy, a little Eloy sighting this weekend.
Eloy has completely
fallen apart.
I'm shocked at how bad he is. I thought he was going to be a good player.
Yon Moncada. They had a little squad there
so,
for a moment.
Moncada is almost as bad as, like, just the comps. It's almost as bad as when we had the guy who said that Kingery was Pedroia.
Yeah.
With, like, better hands or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I remember the comps on Moncada was the Mike Trout of the infield.
Oh, people loved Yon Moncada. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, better not happen to Jackson Holliday because he's
tough start for our guy.
Torching my fantasy.
Yeah, not a great start. But look, you know what is great? And of course, this podcast is sponsored by Miller Lite, official sponsor of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time. Philadelphia, celebrate responsibly. Jack, I'm not going to bury the lead today. We're going to get back into this series. We're going to dive into the horrendousness of the White Sox and the Phillies taking advantage of it. But coming up this Saturday, Fritzy, our first High Hopes watch party of the year, baby. Let's go.
I know.
I know. April 27th, Saturday night, we are going to be in Newtown at the Green Parrot in Newtown. I believe it's, who is it? The Phillies and the, it's a late
the
game.
The Padres.
Padres. It's a West Coast game. We'll be there, I believe, at 7:30 range. Game starts at 8:40. We're going to be in there. I probably will not make it till the end of the game, but I will hang for a while. I'll do my best. But our first High Ups watch party, the Green Parrot in Newtown, Saturday night coming out. It's going to be awesome. So shout out to Miller Lite.
The Green Parrot is also where Mailata was singing the other night. So
oh,
maybe Jordan Mailata will be there.
Could show up. He's a huge High Ups fan.
Could confirm, can't confirm. So maybe Mailata will be there. Either way, we'll be there. Green Parrot's an awesome spot.
It is an awesome
Newtown
spot.
Newtown Square is a cool little place.
Newtown.
What's Newtown Square?
Is it Newtown Square?
They're all the same.
No, they're different.
Well, Newtown's up in... No.
I'm pretty sure it's Newtown.
I'm pretty sure it's Newtown Square.
Is it? Let's check.
This is good. This is dynamite.
This is good. This is good.
This is what people pay for. This is what they pay for and they stay for.
I'm really excited about this. This is good. This is our first one and we're all over it. Here we go. Green Parrot.
Oh, no. It's Newtown.
I knew it was Newtown. I've been there. Okay. I can't believe I even doubted myself for a second. I was like, wait, is that not the place that I'm thinking of? Yes, it is a Newtown. It's a great spot. I have been there. It is a phenomenal place in Newtown. So there we go.
Makes my drive a little bit further.
Yeah, that's I know. All right. I know. I mean, look, it's all the same to me. Newtown Square, same
no
drive.
No matter what, I'm somehow 45 to an hour from everywhere.
I know
like it doesn't
are.
Matter. You could put it like in Downingtown, and it's still somehow 45 minutes to an hour. So all good. Either way, looking forward to it. Green Parrot, great spot, and yeah, it's gonna be a great time. Watch the Phils. By that point, I mean
be like
what?
A 10-game winning streak.
They've won six
yeah.
straight.
No, 12, 11 by then. Yeah, so. Four, because it's four, and then Fry is still 11-game winning streak when we go.
That's good.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. How about that? Just carry it on through.
It's going to be bumping.
No, it's going to be awesome. All right, let's get to the 6-game winning streak. How about it? Nice time to have the two worst teams in baseball.
Yeah.
As the White Sox are legendarily bad. The Rockies are also horrible as well. But you know what? Like, how many times have the Phillies blown series like this, especially in April? Oh, this is a get-right series, and it's never a get-right series. We said this was a get-right week, and they railed off six straight. And yes, some of the Rockies games a little closer than they should have been, but they throttled this White Sox team. Absolutely owned them all weekend. You know, outside of literally the moment the Sixers lost, the Phillies gave up five unanswered and had to burn Alvarado in that spot. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, didn't matter too much because you didn't have to use him the next day. Other than that, and then the two runs in the first the next day, that was it. That was all the White Sox put up the mustard the entire weekend.
The only thing that has hurt the Phillies' bullpen so far is having too big of a lead.
You're right. Good point.
You had Soto, you had Pinto. So, yeah, the only thing that's kind of killed them is that. It's also really important, and it's been fascinating. Like it's almost like we're watching a throwback baseball team here with the starting staff. They just all go deep in the games.
Dude, it's
like
unbelievable.
Nolan went eight yesterday.
Eight, no problem. After Wheeler went 7 1/3, after Turnbull went 6 1/3. Like they just
Ranger complete game shutting.
Yes.
So they are giving the bullpen. And the bullpen the first week and a half was just so overworked. Yeah. I mean, some of those guys weren't available for games. So
well, especially Jack, this early in the season. Like normally it's like, oh, we're coming out of spring. Like our starters can't go that deep into games. The pitches have been low. Like it's at no point is it other than Ranger letting him go to the 112 or whatever it was at the end there, which, you know, you knew it in that moment it was going to happen. Like other than that, like no one's really even like had a super high pitch count going into these late innings. I mean, Nola was what, like 87 pitches heading in the eighth mm-hmm. yesterday. So it's been really impressive.
Yeah. And again, we always look for market inefficiencies. Maybe the big old thing the Phillies revealed is, hey, throw strikes and work with your fastball. Don't walk people and sort of pitch to contact.
Yeah.
It's not like they're striking out the ballpark. No. It's not like, again, and we talked a lot. Like this starting staff is not built on a bunch of stuff, guys. Like they're a bunch of command oriented.
Bunch of pitchers,
just
Jack.
Just a bunch of pitchers, man. Just a bunch of guys that know how to get the job
Jack,
done.
Jack, I know we don't say this about pitchers enough. It's usually like the Bryson Stotts. Just a bunch of baseball players, man. You know?
Well,
just a bunch of ball players.
I feel like it's like they're just pitchers.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I'm just having a little fun here.
The pitchers? Yeah.
Yeah, they are. They're pitchers.
Basically, they're basically.
Your favorite pitcher, these guys are their favorite pitchers.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly. This is who everyone else is emulating.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, they're essentially the 90s Braves, if you want to put it out there.
I mean,
know how to get the job.
Yeah, I mean, basically, more or less exactly the same, I would say. Talent level, accomplishment, the whole thing.
Probably worse golf games.
I would think
everything else is pretty similar, but it's just been And there's been no letdown. And I love the quotes. I love the quotes about how we're trying to one-up each other.
Which is so great. There are many things that you're a sucker for, you know, basically spring training stats among many millions of others. I'm such a sucker for the teammates trying to one-up each other quotes. Like, I'm always in on that.
Yeah, well, it's because it matters. And it's how when you're going through the slog of a baseball season that it keeps you sharp.
And motivated.
And motivated. So, and it just kind of pushes each other. So, it's interesting because a lot of these guys have been here for a couple years, but it feels like they're all stepping up their level a little bit. And, you know, we saw, and you can make fun of spring training results as much as you want, but one of the big takeaways from spring training was these guys were throwing a lot of strikes with their fastball. And it seems like they've put a massive, massive emphasis on it. And it has resulted in quicker outs, has resulted in lower pitch counts. And I think, dude, they seem really prepared and into how to keep these guys' arms healthy. Well, you know how to keep arms healthy? It's throwing a lot of fastballs.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you're putting...
No, that's absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, obviously, I don't have the numbers in front of me on fastball percentages and stuff like that. But just in watching them, it seems like they are trying to become more fastball-oriented. And I think that has helped keep them healthier. I'm sure they have the numbers. Like they've got it. Like they can do that stuff. So they're just a really impressive staff. They all seem to have confidence. They're all trying to one up each other. They're throwing strikes. Even like Spencer Turnbull, like he's had good
six and a third no hit, buddy.
I was saying to myself, like, all right, if he throws a no hitter, they can't take him out. They can't take him out of the rotation. But they probably will. But even like Turnbull, all his stuff looked sharper. Like, yeah. It all just looked sharp. He was throwing a ton of strikes. He was still able to command-ish five pitches, which has been the Turnbull kind of start to the year. It's phenomenal right now. And it's probably the most important thing you can have with a team. Like, you wait for the offense. The offense is generally going to be hot and cold. Pitchers dictate the outcome of a lot of these games.
Yeah, and look, cliches are cliches for a reason. Pitching wins in October. It just does. And yes, you have years where, you know, the Texas Rangers had a bunch of home runs and they'll win. But they also had Nate Eovaldi dealing. They had Jordan Montgomery dealing. Like, pitching is always going to get the job done.
John Gray. Pitching
is Jose Leclerc finding a season out of nowhere. Like, the pitching is always going to win more often than not in October. And that's why one of the things when, you know, the slow start, I guess, can we call it a slow start this year? Everyone's like, oh, they're having another slow start. It's like, not anymore. It was pretty cool. I know, but it was like a very early start. We didn't even give them April. We didn't even give them half of April.
Well,
but
here's the thing that's made me happy is that this is not to take a shot at our listeners, but not the High Hopes listeners.
Level-headed.
The WIP listeners. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll check back in and it's checkout time.
No, it's checkout time.
Yeah, the first week, it's like Fire Thompson.
Real ones. All that stay. Stuff.
It seems like the over-the-top fury about the team and every little thing they do has subsided a little bit, and that makes me happy because
it's nice, it's needed.
I will welcome everyone. I'm not.
Yeah, the gate is closed again. You'll open it again eventually.
Not gatekeeping.
Yeah, you're just closing the gate. You're just closing the gate for a while.
I'll see you in September.
That's right. But here's the thing with that, like, slow start or whatever you want to say. Like, I kept saying I was more encouraged by the pitching than I was discouraged by the bats. Mm-hmm. I felt like the way that staff came out to start the season, and obviously what they've done, is the single most important thing that could have happened for this team. Like, it's the best thing that could have happened for this team.
Well, and the fact that they haven't really dealt with any injuries.
Unbelievable.
I mean,
I know.
But like, they've come out, they've done their job.
Yeah, the only injury has been a positive one, Taiwan.
I know. And it's led to Turn Goat, but...
Turn goat.
Turn goat.
Bull goat. That was very good.
But, and on top of that, the bullpen looks really good. Like, yeah. I know they've had the little things, but that's bullpens. You know,
always going to have some blowout. Like, Gregory Soto is going to have those outings.
It's going to happen. Sir Anthony is still a question mark.
I think he's the biggest one. But look, Kirkland looked good through two innings so far. He's back.
I need to go on like a mini rant.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It's
way too positive right here.
I love the pitching staff. And I love the pitching staff. Like, I need Cotham, Kaplan, whoever. Break out the Rapsodo camera, whatever it takes. Figure out a different pitch for Sir Anthony and Junior Marte besides the slider. because it's not a good pitch at all. Like, it just, it's awful. It backs up all the time. They cannot throw it with any level of sharpness, and it's the only time that they look bad. Like, Sir Anthony's fastball is still good. Like,
it is.
The people that say that Sir Anthony's cooked, he's not. He throws 99. It's just his freaking slider does nothing. It's a cement mixer. So, like, they've developed
and he can't control it. They haven't been able to control it either.
His arm, he can't get on top of it. And when he gets on, it drives me nuts.
Like, so what do you like? And how? I mean, can you just pick up a pitch on the fly?
That's all these teams do now. They pick up a sweeper. they develop. I've never seen pitchers be able to develop more pitches.
It is wild how quick the sweeper is.
The sweeper's taking over the sport.
Everyone's repertoire.
It's also, harming some arms. Yeah. Maybe. Not us. We're fastball org. Everyone knows that. We're established the fastball people.
Yeah, always. Always have been.
Always have been. Hey, fastball commander.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just, and Junior Marte should never throw it. I mean, so like for me with Marte, he should find a splitter. If he could throw a splitter, and I think he's tinkering with it a little bit, but like the slider can't happen. Sir Anthony could be one of the best pitchers in baseball if he had anything else besides that slider. Like, figure out a curveball. Get more on top of it. I don't know. Like, maybe hone in on the changeup more and figure that out. It's just those guys could be even better if they just had anything else. And it drives me nuts. In a day and age where you can develop a pitch in a week, the fact that we're still going back to the well here with the Junior Marte and Sir Anthony sliders, it drives me insane.
It is pretty crazy. Nice rant.
Thank you.
It is pretty crazy that's where we're at with the pitching staff. Sir Anthony needs a better second pitch.
Third and
is our big gripe right now. That and don't come back, Taiwan. Like, that's it. Otherwise, it's like, wow, this is awesome.
Keep
doing whatever the hell you're doing,
Everything
guys.
Else is fine.
Keep doing it.
Everything else is fine. Their sliders drive me nuts.
All right, before we get to the bats, let's take on the Taiwan thing quickly, because this is, I think everyone just assumed Taiwan would come back and get the job, and we still do, but I mean, Turnbull is making it hard on them. And he's going to have, a couple more starts probably before Taiwan gets back, maybe one more?
Probably one more.
Is there's like a 0% chance Taiwan's not coming back to the rotation, right? Like, there's nothing that, like, if Turnbull goes out and there's another 7 no-hit innings, like, do they do it? Like, it feels like no matter what, Taiwan's getting his job back. There's nothing Turnbull.
Here's what I would do. Okay. They're playing in San
Diego. Tanya Harding, Taiwan Walker.
No, we don't need to go to those extremes.
Sorry, I don't need to go to those.
I know you're thinking about the 90s and you got really excited.
Shout out to the 90s.
Simpler
time, Jack.
I actually have it.
We had a problem. We didn't want someone to participate. We'd just freaking take something to their legs and we'd be set.
I actually have a 90s thing I need to run by you later.
Oh, I love that.
Because I'm confused by one thing that happened
good,
in the 90s.
Good.
And I need explanation.
I was there.
Why. So, yeah. Here's my solution to the Taiwan situation. And I want everyone to gather around the podcast.
Oh, I like that.
Maybe
yeah.
Turn up your headphones a little bit.
Warm your hands by the fire.
Exactly, because Fritzy's spitting. Here's the solution to the Taiwan thing, okay? They're playing in San Diego this weekend. Uh-huh. Make them walk. Just make them walk. I mean, seriously, you want to fix it? Just make them walk.
I thought you were going to go with some sort of rational, here's the solution. Like, listen, seriously, didn't see that coming. That was good work.
Just make him walk.
Yeah, that's good.
Just make him walk. It's fine.
Yeah, that might happen.
Like, we'll see wherever they go after San Diego. Like, if you
just catch up. If you're not there in Taiwan. Taiwan, turn around. You got to head to San Francisco now, wherever we're going.
Oops. Yeah. Oh, we missed you. We just missed you. And then all of a sudden, it's just Taiwan walking around.
Taiwan's like calling. No one's answering the phone. Like, oh.
We lost your number. You know, landline? You could be the new. Hey, all I'm saying is this. Look at what it did for Forrest Gump.
Oh, it's a good point.
So, there
90s, I see you did there. It's
there
good
could
work.
Be
yeah.
a positive yeah. with the Taiwan
That's,
thing.
It could change his whole life.
He had one whiff at AAA yesterday.
He's throwing low 91 or whatever.
He allowed 4 earned. He touched 93 times. Like, it's not even
93
times. Oh, that's God. It. He was sitting 88,
I
believe.
Oh, man. I thought he was 91.
So,
oh, God. Even then,
the thing about Taiwan.
Sitting at 88.
So, here's my thing on Taiwan. I'm trying not to be over the top, mad at him. His arm just might be cooked.
Yeah.
Like, it's as simple as that. Like, he just might not have it anymore. He's talking about how, he can't wait. He's like, yeah, some guys get outs at 97. I'm going to get outs at 88. I'm like, sure. I don't believe that at all. He might just be done. He might just be done. And it stinks that he has $54 million left on the contract.
Just set that $72 million on fire.
But he's turning into Adam Eaton.
I mean, well, yeah.
Is it not the same thing?
Adam Eaton, yeah, times three or whatever. Well, it's Adam Eaton's times three. Yeah, yeah, literally. So yeah.
I just
he is that, though. Is, again.
100% he's that.
I mean.
Do we boo him at the ring ceremony when they win the World Series?
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously. All right, let me ask it a different way then. How many bad, because we just assume he's going to come out and suck, which I think we can all agree on. How
Very
many
positive.
How many bad starts do they go to Turnbull? Like how much leash does Taiwan have?
So here's the thing.
Phantom injury, whatever they do to get rid, like how, like what do you think his leash is?
I think it's probably three or four starts.
That was my three starts was kind of what I had in my head.
Right, and my thing with the fear I have, and listen, I know they're going to go back to him, and that's fine, whatever.
It's already done. Like don't whatever, like just mentally prepare yourself. Taiwan Walker is taking Turnbull's spot.
I'm trying
flat out.
Not doing well handling it, but I'm doing about as best as I can. The thing that annoys me is like, okay, so he goes out and doesn't pitch well, and then you try to go back to Turnbull, and Turnbull now is out of rhythm that he was in a good rhythm. Now, he could come back and be just as good as he was before he went to the bullpen. By the way, what role is he going to have in the bullpen? Like, the only time Covey's used.
He's in a blowout.
I know.
I don't love it.
So he's pitching too well for that, and I don't want to also get too, like, I don't want to cut off your nose to spite your face, as they say.
It's done, yes.
By having Taiwan go back out there, Turnbull in a reduced role, gets Turnbull out of rhythm. If Taiwan can't do it, then bang, Turnbull's back in there. And what if it's not the same version of Turnbull? So like, here's
isn't that what's gonna happen, right? I mean, like, if I could bet on what's gonna happen, I would bet on that exact playoff.
Why can't they just? And here's another thing. Are they afraid to put Taiwan in the long man role, the mop-up duty role, to ruin the relationship with Scott Boras? Because I think that's a factor here. Because Scott Boras is very close to this organization now. They went, 20 years essentially without talking after the J.D. Drew thing. So do they not want to annoy one of Boras's clients by not putting him in a role that he probably should be? I mean, on top of last year where they didn't pitch him in the playoffs, which I'm sure annoyed Boras.
Oh, yeah. Taiwan let us know.
Taiwan let
him,
us know. So
yeah.
I'm definitely thinking about, because and people will bring up, well, Turnbull threw 53 innings last year. I get it. Can I see him fall apart or not be able to handle it before I'm like already etching it in stone? So the Boras thing is one thing that I've been thinking about the last couple
I don't think there's any question that it's a part of it. I think there's a lot of factors. There's a lot of tentacles to it. And look, they paid him a lot of money. I think from their own perspective, we're paying this guy a lot of money. We don't want to just call it, so to speak. But I absolutely think the Boras relationship matters. I think the whole situation is a big part of that. And I just wonder at what, again, because ultimately, at the end of the day, what matters most obviously is winning baseball games. And then on top of that, like ultimately what we think as fans, like, you know, it doesn't really matter. It matters on some level, but what are those guys in the locker room thinking, in the clubhouse? Like you're taking, this is a meritocracy, right? You spend your whole baseball life, either you're good or you're not. Either you come through or you don't. And that's why you have a career. It's all about meritocracy. It's all about what do you hit? What do you do? What can you pitch? Like it's you either live or die by your skills and your ability. And when you're taking someone who's throwing as well, Turnbull's got like a 1.23 ERA or something.
1.23, yeah.
Yes. And just coming off the starts that he's had, like that's my concern, because I know why they're doing it. And I do think Boras plays a role. I think the money plays a role, the whole thing. But what I wonder about is those guys in the clubhouse, like looking at Spencer Turnbull and being like, this ain't right. And I know they know how it works, but if like Taiwan goes out and gets shelled that first outing, I mean, that's a tough spot in the clubhouse.
Yeah. I'm okay giving him a couple starts.
I think I've accepted it. I wouldn't say I'm okay with it, because I do think it's wrong, but I accept it.
Well, it's definitely not the it's definitely different than the earned not given.
Yeah. Well, it just exactly. You can't just, you know, it,
I know. It's frustrating.
It undercuts all that.
Well, and because Turnbull has been so good.
That's the point. If Turnbull had like a 3.5 ERA, I'd be like, "Oh, but I get it. Like I still want Turnbull, but I get it." This is like hard to pull that guy.
I know. So we'll see what happens. We'll see how he does in his walk to San Diego. We'll see if he can. We'll see if he can make it in time. But Taiwan's coming back, man. And even just to, again, I'm trying not to go over the top because I think there's a real chance his arm just might be cooked.
Yeah.
And that stinks because when you, as someone who also lost 4 miles an hour on their
fastball.
Yes,
it's a really similar parallel between the two of you.
So listen, I think Taijuan Walker as a Philly compared to me as a Husky, it's pretty similar.
Pretty similar.
Both.
Yeah.
Got
he just
good money.
There's one big difference. Yeah. He didn't have your big game accomplishments.
Well, listen, again, if the Huskies, well, we did make the playoffs. and we did set a school record for wins. No big deal. I kept the book for 53 of those games.
Oh, wow.
That's why I will never touch a book.
Damn good book.
Well, perfect books.
Yeah.
Perfect books. I had a record going for the PSAC. It's a bit. But it's if you say,
I love when you have to say it's a bit after.
If I've learned anything, right, in doing this or really just, you know, living
life, yes.
If you say things with enough confidence, people believe just about anything.
100%.
Yeah. So like
flat out truth.
53 straight perfect books my sophomore year.
Pretty impressive.
Perfect. And I also fake broadcasted all the games.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That's never come out here. Well, yeah. You're sitting there
I was really bored. Yeah. I would walk into the dugout every game, and we used to have like what our roles were for that game. Every single time, Jack Buck. I just stopped checking. There's games where I just stopped warming up. I was like, well, why do I have to be out here? I essentially turned into a team manager my sophomore year, which is bold. It was ridiculous.
Whoa, that was close.
I lost.
That was almost.
They made me lose 20 pounds.
Wow.
I came back and I threw this most disgusting bullpen of my life. Was named like pitcher of the week. And then didn't sniff the mound until the end. It was awful.
See, probably someone making $72 million sniffed it in front of you, and it was outrageous. Spencer Turnbull.
The better hitters on the team were like, I don't know, Jack looks pretty good. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I used to be pretty good at this. And then I went out that summer and threw like the third lowest ERA in the Westchester Men's Adult League. So like maybe I could still. It's real to me, damn it. I'll be back out there. You like that? We just reminisced.
Good, yeah, it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm sure everyone.
I think
loved
we really
it.
Just got in your mind there.
Oh, because it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's good.
It's great. But anyway, like,
so what was the point?
The point of that whole thing. Point of the whole thing there is that I think people are surprised because people view me as like a baseball nerd, which is fine, like I am. But people view me in that way, which is great. But I'm not one of those people that keep the books. At Phillies games, like Buzz,
yes.
like our
like
good
Buzz,
friend
yes.
Dan
Wilson. Dan Wilson keeps the books.
Keeps the books. Evan Roberts of New York, like he keeps the books. Yes. I will not ever keep a book ever again.
Same.
I've done too many Division II baseball games for me to ever want to do that.
Yeah. And I just stopped being a child and thus stopped keeping the book. No, I'm just kidding. Keeping the book is cool.
Keeping the book's great. I think people do it, it's very like,
it's neat.
I appreciate it.
It's neat to have it. I don't have that kind of focus during a baseball
game. Oh, no.
Yeah,
I'm actually surprised you are a baseball fan.
I did
hockey, I could see. You know, football, everyone like football's football.
Yeah.
Baseball's the one. I'm surprised you're like locked in on given your nature.
I can lock in, buddy. I can lock in. That's the key. Speaking of lock in, before we get to the bats, shout out to the Miller Lite account of the week, the E-House. Today's show is sponsored by Miller Lite and the E-House in Bensalem. Check out the E-House for every Phillies game and enjoy $3 Miller Lite pints in their extensive pub grub menu featuring their famous E-House steaks, 12 ounces of sirloin and short rib blend with Cooper Sharp American cheese. That sounds awesome. I'm in for that. Miller Lite's for Phillies win. Celebrate responsibly. All right, Fritzy. How about it? Scored some runs. Now, granted, against a pretty bad team.
Oh, yeah.
But
well, hold on. Garrett Crochet is not.
Okay. No, and they got to Crochet. And in general, you were obsessed with this bullpen. They said it's the best bullpen you've ever seen, this White Dog bullpen. They handled it. Just put up runs, man. How about it?
Well, they only handled it because Jordan Leisure, who is turning into one of my faves, didn't pitch until Sunday. And Michael Kopech didn't pitch until Sunday.
True.
By the way, Kopech needs to be a fill.
He looked nasty. Kopech looked. And Kopech's one of those guys you always, he throws 104 or whatever it was in the minor. I was like, oh, hardest. Like, it was the Red Sox guy, the Sale Trail. But, like, I never was in on Kopech because it just felt like it was always just, he throws hard. And there never felt like there was more to him. He throws hard.
Hard. Like, some guys throw 100, and it's like, but that's not very heavy.
Totally. Like,
his is a heavy
his 100. Like, it popped off the screen. That
the at bat to Bryce was so funny because I think Bryce after the first like swing or strike was kind of just like, yeah, I don't want to.
We're winning by like 7 runs. I'm pretty good right now.
Yeah. I'll take a strikeout. Like I don't need this at all. So
it's gonna hurt my hands if I actually hit it.
So speaking of the trade deadline.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if Serenity keeps struggling,
yes,
they're gonna need an extra righty arm.
I agree.
Probably.
Yeah.
Two names. Well, there's actually a million names, but
it's like two names.
The two that I am intrigued by is definitely Kopech. And how
do you think the White Sox will be selling now? Good question.
Yeah, they could make a run here soon. Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do. How are they going to trade Luis Robert?
I don't think so.
One day.
I mean, maybe. I mean, look, Reinsdorf ain't going to pay him. So when that gets closer, yeah.
No, but I want Sixto back.
Really?
Yeah, I want Sixto back. He's starting to heat up down there. Okay. He had a really bad like first three outings, and now it's starting to settle into a little spot there.
Stay on the field, Sixto.
Yeah. No, just for the vibes.
It would be...
Dude, Sixto coming hilarious. Back and like helping this team win. It'd be Foles.
It would be. And I mean, yes, sure.
More impressive.
It'd be Foles. Yeah, more impressive.
Yeah. It would mean more to the city, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, obviously.
So the bats are raking. Yes. The bats are welcome to the season.
Yeah. Trey Turner, it's like this guy's a pretty good baseball player.
So I have some fun with numbers with the offense.
Oh, look at you. By the way, speaking of which, of all my preseason predictions, some have not gone great. My Trey Turner first Philly with 200 hits, that's a pretty good one.
Looks horrible for a week.
I know. It looks terrible. I'm feeling pretty good about it right now.
I feel my JT one is
just raking.
My JT one is going down the toilet.
Yeah, it's less good.
Never trust the biomechanics lab again. Yeah. No, the biomechanics lab is great, and I need it for the rest of my life. But and I did do these numbers because I got here a half hour early.
Oh, that was what you were doing when you were saying. I was shocked, by the way. You were just ready to roll.
Well, I was trying to talk. All right, so here's my problem. Yes. As I was getting these numbies together for the big old podcast.
We're big numbies, guys.
And then me and Ben Davis started talking.
Yeah, it was just a couple of baseball guys chopping it up.
We start talking chop. You know, it's.
What are you supposed to do?
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, two high-level baseball players.
He's not an analytics guy. Yeah.
No, he's not.
These aren't analytics. These are just facts.
Yeah.
So,
because analytics aren't facts.
So, well, listen, some of them can be off.
Sure, but they're usually information.
Last ten for Alec Bohm, 344, 688 slug. 1,100 OPS.
Oh, I did notice he's at 887 OPS for the season. All of a sudden, I believe, I think he's the third best OPS on the team. I think it's Marsh and Turner, the only two who are better.
I can see that. Yeah. I can see that. By the way, just to get this take out of the way, I mean, by the end of April, maybe early May, I mean, Bryce will be back to like 285, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can feel it.
Yeah. He's getting some big hits here and there. It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. So, with Bohm, though, I'm not going to say anything positive because whenever I get excited.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, yeah.
Whenever I get pumped, like, oh, my God, he's like
lifting. He won't hit
baseball.
A homer for a month if you do that. Yeah,
ripping the ball into the ground.
He's Willie Mays Hayes again. Yes.
But little signs of things. We're getting some gappers. Mm-hmm. We're getting some homers. We're going the opposite way.
Two-homer game. Are you kidding me?
Come on, Bohm. I'm just begging for it at this point with Bohm. Like, I just. Drive the base. It's right there.
He's so big.
I know.
Like, he's a giant
and
human.
And he's strong. And his defense is getting good.
But So I was thinking about this over the weekend. Is he officially above average at third? I think he's above average.
Yeah.
For a while, I've thought average. Like, I think he's actually a slightly above average third baseman. That is unbelievable, man.
Every time the ball used to get hit to him, I would say, how's this going to
go
wrong?
Yeah, I would be terrified every time. And now it's like automatic. I just say, oh, he's got it.
Yeah, he's good. No, it's a real testament. To obviously Bohm, but Bobby Dickerson.
Bobby Dickerson. Yeah. I think both.
And Turner's been fine at shortstop.
You know, Bobby Dickerson is undersung his praises, so to speak. But also, to your point, don't undersell how much work Alec Bohm had to have put 100%. In to do that. So he deserves a lot of credit.
And actually, I'll save it for later with Harper.
Love a good
with
save Harper, for later.
Because it's funny. But the, ever since some idiot on this podcast said put Turner in center field, he has figured out shortstop a little bit. Rojas.
Who was that? Did someone say
Rojas last 10 games?
No one would say. I mean, people would probably jump on you if you said put him in center field. Right?
At this point, yes. Rojas in the last 10.
Johan.
Yeah, I know.
Give me one of these, buddy.
Very proud of him. 419 average, 938 OPS.
He's up to 265 on the season.
I know.
Like,
I know.
He is fine.
Is he officially hot?
He's totally. And by the way, hell of a base stealer.
Dude, great base.
You're really good at it. Like, he's gotten better at the jumps and the reads and stuff. He's gotten much better.
Bunting looks pretty serviceable, like, when he gets it out there. Come on.
Major league hitter.
Mike
Johan
Trout.
Rojas.
Mike Trout who? Don't need him.
Don't need him. Don't ask out Trout.
Hey,
how about that?
Hey. Don't need him. Don't want him.
Hey, how about this? Hey, Mike. Just stay where you are.
Yeah, you're fine.
Keep being irrelevant.
You got to come back into us, pal.
That's what I've always felt.
Take right? about $150 million off your contract.
Yeah. Or more.
Well, actually, he's off to a pretty good start to the year.
He's been very good. Yeah. But, you know, he'll be hurt in a week. It's the Trout story, sadly.
Nope. He's fine. He's going to be a fill. Okay. Anyway, so, but I mean, Rojas is, like, legitimately hitting the baseball hard, which is good. Yeah. Like, he had an opposite field hit yesterday. That was good. He did a ball to the wall.
Yeah, that double to the wall.
Dude,
yeah.
It didn't die either. Yeah. I was waiting for it, like, to barely reach the center fielder.
And
it
kept carrying.
Going.
Yeah.
Even his outs are mostly pretty hard. He's only struck out once, I believe.
It is funny because I keep thinking about that way that you, and it was such a good way to describe early in the season, Rojas, where it's like the ball off the bat. It's like, ooh. And then it, like, is like a shallow, like, to the shortstop can go out and get it type of thing. It felt like almost every White Sox hitter. Every ball they hit was like that. Like, I'm ooh, that's a scorcher. And then it was like a slow bouncer to Turner. I'm like, oh, God. Like, it really, there's not so much exit velocity coming off those bats.
Gavin Sheets is kind of interesting. Sure. But that's about it. Yeah. Benintendi hit a ball, and I was like, oh, that's like at least four rows deep.
And
Rojas was camped under it.
I know.
We do this all the time on the pod, and it's just, but it's so hard not to talk about. Like, his defense is just so much different than everyone. It just looks so.
It looks it's
like
insane.
You said, like, Marsh is a good defensive center fielder. Phenomenal on left. I mean, phenomenal. Like, should probably win the Gold Glove on left.
Good.
But it's just so much different with Rojas. And just to be completely frank, like, I'm so happy he looks good.
Me too.
Like, I don't want to root against Johan Rojas.
I also want him to be my center fielder. Yes. Like, I want that guy in the outfield. We've talked about this over the years so many times where it's one of those things, you know, like defense, schmefense, whatever. And then we get, you know, a string of center fielders. And then when you get someone like this, it's like, I feel like I cherish it so much more than I used to. Like, it matters. Mm-hmm. I need this guy out there.
And again, not to keep bringing up the trade deadline, but I wonder if he's good enough and they believe in him enough. And again, it's only been a week against the Rockies and White Sox to where they would move on from Justin Crawford. Well, I mean, think of
they're the same player. Like
Marsh,
essentially,
Marsh, they're probably gonna have to resign.
Yeah,
I mean, Marsh is just good. Like, he's just a good player. I don't know who's gonna play right field in the future.
Not Nick. Tell you that much, buddy.
Yeah, I don't. Right field's is sneaky. They have a bunch of center fielders.
I should say, I apologize for not leading the pod with the 21 game no extra base hit streak ending for Nick Castellanos. What a thrill. With a triple, no less.
That wasn't it misplayed?
No.
I wasn't home yet.
No, it wasn't misplayed. It probably should have been a double. Like, they probably should have gotten to it a little quicker, but it was a hit.
I'm so mad at myself, too, because he went 3-for-3 on Saturday, and I was like, oh, there it is.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course not. Yeah.
Right back. Right field in the future is, like, I mean, unless Franconis can do it, I just don't know. They have a bunch of center fielders.
Yeah, they got. I mean, that's what they have on the roster now. I mean, they got, like, again, we've got a center fielder playing left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now his bat is playing better, though. Like, that's even Marsh. Is if he can, the power especially, if he can keep this up, then he could profile, like, not as a classic left fielder, but you can get by with him as your left fielder, sure. Bat-wise.
Sure. So, Rojas obviously heating up. And then Trey, last 13 games.
Trey.
434, 1,100 OPS.
Is that good? I feel like even when he gets out, it's hard hit balls that just go at somebody. He is locked, man.
When he gets locked,
he's so fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. He's probably their best player when locked in.
Yeah. So he's like, when he's locked in, I don't remember many Phillies players in my lifetime who I was more sure they were going to get a hit every time they go up. Like, I expect him to get a hit every time he goes to the plate when he's locked in like this. Like, if he doesn't get a hit, I'm surprised. And, like, I don't remember that, like, 3-4 hit game type guys. Like, he just feels like he could rail off 3 hit games all the time when he's locked.
Well, especially when he's doing the infield hit.
Well, that too. Yeah, which when he's flying around.
Well, it got him going. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Got him going. Good to see Schwarber have a bit of a bounce back game yesterday. On he, so, I think Paul tweeted this. I think he tweeted that he's the first player in Philly's history to ever walk three times, hit a sac fly, and hit a home run in a game.
What a weird.
I mean, it's definitely.
It's a weird combination.
Super fun
of things,
with numbers, I guess.
Yeah, it's too much fun numbers.
Technically, we saw history yesterday.
It's pretty great. Pretty great.
Yeah.
It took Schwarber also the lefty thing early in the year, the five dice. He's got all kinds of. Schwarber has not been super consistent game to game, but like sitting here in April, he's got like a 327, I think, OBP, five homers or whatever it is, like four homers. It's like, you know what? For Kyle Schwarber, okay.
Yeah. But it's interesting because you say that, and I agree with you, but then you look at his start to last year, it's the exact same.
Is it the same? Of course. That's hilarious because I would have expected it was worse.
Points off on the average.
So the question is that's the thing, though, is if he could
he feels better this year.
Yeah, well, and all, he does. But also the question is, so I guess what that means is that last year coming up around now, he just went into a crater because, like, he did get that down to 100 and all that type of stuff. So, like, let's hope the crater isn't coming.
Hey, Kyle, don't do it. Don't do it. And then the final thing on the offense, Stotts just got to start hitting.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's struggling.
It's definitely, and it's interesting to watch him struggle like this because this is not traditionally. I mean, I know he had the bad start to his rookie year, but that's fine. He also ended that by batting like close to 300 for the second half of the year. He's just in such a funk the first half. Last year was just pretty consistent all throughout besides September. And I guess I just never really worry about him because I trust enough that he's a good enough hitter to where he won't crater, but it's nice that everyone else is hitting so that the Stott Castellanos isn't like dragging them down. But I still feel the way I do about the top of the offense. Like when Schwarber, Turner, and Harper are all, they don't have to be on fire, but at least doing their job, the offense is fine. It's just if those guys aren't, do they have enough around them to carry the offense if they crater?
Yeah. And when Nick's not hitting, no. Generally they don't is the issue. I mean,
well, Bo might be the four hitter now.
True.
So he's having those numbers out of the five hole. Would you move him up?
Sure. I think you talked about it earlier. I mean, he's a better profile. You don't want your, which is funny. I was, this is a bad job of me, but when we're watching the Rockies, I'm sitting there and Elias Diaz is batting cleanup. And in my head, I'm like, man, the Rockies have their catcher batting cleanup. They're such an unserious
team. Who would ever do that?
And then literally 3 seconds later, I'm like, ah, crap. Damn it, I didn't think about that when I was thinking it.
Yeah.
But it just feels unserious. Like, you know, it just feels unserious.
By the way, did JT have to play yesterday?
No.
Like, what are we doing here?
I know.
It's
the White Sox.
You've already beat the White Sox. You already won the series.
I know.
It's not like, I understand sitting Stubbs on Friday, even though you've had him in Turnbull lined up because it's Crochet and Stubbs, he is not hitting Crochet.
No.
But, like, you don't have an off day this week.
No, they're straight through.
Beating the Reds is more important than beating the White Sox.
No doubt, yeah.
I didn't need him out
Good
there
take
yesterday.
By you.
Yeah, didn't need him
that.
Out there yesterday.
But yeah, I think JT should not be the cleanup hitter is the real take there.
Bummer.
All right, last thing before the take bag. Is Alvarado the closer?
Sure seems it.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
That's fine. I'm just asking, like, is he the closer? You know, I know there'll be a couple innings here. Maybe if it's three righties coming up or whatever, I'll go to Hoffman. But it feels like right now in Topper's mind, Alvarado's the closer.
Well, yeah.
Much as he's going to have a closer.
Right. But, I mean, there have been some instances in the Cardinals series where 1, 2, and 3 were up in the 8th.
And he went Alvarado there. Yeah. Alvarado's going to, he still will do the high leverage.
He's the most important reliever. Well, let's put it that way.
Without a doubt.
And I think when you have, Strom's just good, you know? So when you have Strom, Soto, I'm not going to hold his last thing against him.
Like, you can afford to put a lefty as your closer because you have those other guys.
Correct. And I do want to see Hoffman kind of get back on the horse and bounce back here because he had two kind of shaky outings.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I think Alvarado, and I'll be interested about Kirkring. You know, Kirkring's only pitched twice.
He's looked good so far. Yeah. I mean, I trust Kirkring. I feel very good about him. So,
sure.
All right.
Bullpen's good.
What do you got in the take bag?
I'll save the 90s thing for last.
Okay, good. And I'm going to do my take vault at the end too.
Okay. So I have two thoughts on the Wheeler no-hitter. Almost no-hitter. Obviously, I am a pitching nerd. Like, I love pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And I've changed so much. because you have no idea how happy I was.
When they got the hit?
When they got the
hit. Yeah, no, me too. Like, I was like, they got to take him out.
I was like, I was texting my buddies, like, can someone please break up? Like, like, I know he's never thrown one. Like, I know he's never thrown one.
This is a departure for you.
Yeah, but he was already like 102 in the eighth.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I'm not risking Wheeler's rest of the year for 130 pitches against the White Sox.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I was so happy.
I would have taken him out if it was no hitter. Topper got through the eighth there. He's like 112 or something.
I would not have let him touch
the mound. I'm sorry. Like, sorry, Zach. It is what it is. Honestly, like, and Ranger is a completely different pitcher, and I trust Ranger to be able to handle a few more pitches in that spot. But I didn't even like Ranger going to 112 to get the complete game or whatever. I know he wanted it. Like, I didn't even like that. So it's freaking April, man. I'm trying to win a World Series.
Yeah. Yep. So, and that's why I legitimately believe 100% to my core that Bryce Harper let that ball go.
Oh, I love this take.
I think
I love this.
He's a team guy.
I love this. He's this a is team so guy. Good. I don't think he did. I think
he's been good at that.
I think he
play.
I think he was mad at him. I think he didn't. I get it. I think that Bryce would not want to be the guy. I think he wants to keep the no-hitter going. He's a baseball guy, you know? He just wants to be part of history and every opportunity he can be. I love it, and if he did, applause. Like, well done.
You gotta act like you're mad. I mean, that's one of the keys to pulling it off.
If you just let it go by and be like, well, oops, no big deal.
In my perfect world, Bryce as a team leader, knows the importance of Wheeler for late in the year, and said, "Oops,
it's a good take."
Thank you.
It's really a good take.
He's actually starting to figure out scoops at first base, which has been
He's been solid at it.
That was the one thing. Like, he's pretty good fielding it. Like, he's going
very good fielding.
But the scoops were causing him kind of issues for a little bit there. No longer the case. So that's been no longer the case is a stretch. But it's definitely been kind of riding the ship. And then my 90s thing.
Yes.
Like, I'm so confused by Limp Bizkit.
Oh, good. Okay.
Like, how did they become popular?
So,
and why did everyone turn so angry, like 95 to 99?
So,
because early 90s is not that.
No,
that's Hootie the Blowfish.
I know.
That's Spin Doctors.
Yeah.
That's like good times, good vibes, good music. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it was like Nirvana, and like I like Nirvana.
Well, Nirvana was early 90s too.
But like I think they
grunge
started.
Grunge led to the kind of
the 90s were great. Why were people angry in the 90s?
So I have never understood the Limp Bizkit.
Corn sucks too.
Yeah, like, I've never understood the Limp Bizkit thing. I never got it. They were in a commercial or something recently, and I even turned to Emily. I'm like, why was Limp Bizkit famous? Like, why were they a thing?
I don't get it.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
I'm really with you. I never.
Like, the lyrics are like elementary school lyrics.
I never
dug. My way or the highway.
I was never in a Limp Bizkit. I still to this day don't understand why they were a thing.
But I'm fascinated by them.
Yeah.
I think they're so bad. But I can't turn off their music. Like, I listen to it all now.
Oh, see, I don't listen to it. Yeah.
It was last year, so that's maybe my Limp Bizkit.
This is Jack's roundabout way of telling everyone he likes Limp Bizkit. That was
but
what
I don't.
Just
I definitely don't. But it's like,
I love all their music, but I don't like them.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't.
I wish I had a good answer. I never got it.
Like, Break Stuff is the most.
I don't even know that.
It's for 15-year-olds.
Yeah, it's a great take.
In Woodstock 99.
See, this is probably answering your question. You listen to
they're
it.
They're so bad, they're good.
Yeah, maybe. They're like a Nickelback thing.
They're like, well, I love Nickelback.
Oh, God.
Jesus. Dude, Nickelback
gets
far too much hate. You're telling me you're not bopping the photograph?
I want to be a rock star.
It's all night. Like, Creed is obviously horrible.
Horrible.
Also, like, I love this. I will listen.
I know you do.
I will listen. There's like three Creed songs where, like, it's the greatest.
Let me take you higher.
It's interesting how Pearl Jam beats those allegations, though. Even though they sound the same.
Oh, yeah. They're better. Pearl Jam's music is better. Much better. Yeah, but Eddie and Creed guy have a little similar voice.
There is
thing
something about bad rock that I just
can
love.
Dig. I get that.
I love
that. Well, Limp Bizkit is bad rock. So.
But they're also, I don't know.
They were huge, though. You're right. They were massive.
So I look up their videos on YouTube. And it's like 250 million views on Breaks.
It's unbelievable how much people like Limp Bizkit. So good take by you. I don't have a good answer. I wish I had a better answer.
Because I don't understand why people turn angry.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's all. I mean, Woodstock 99, I mean, geez.
Yeah, they're just, destroying stuff.
Yeah. So. I'm not the best person to ask about the anger thing. All right, ready for the take vault?
Sure, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We kind of like danced around it earlier, because obviously there's multiple take vaults.
By the way, so far in the take vault, it's only this this pitching staff is going to end the year better than the 11 staff.
Which is a great take.
In the take poll.
So we kind of danced around this at the beginning, but I'm going full on, full take. This White Sox team is the single worst team I've ever seen in my life. They are the worst baseball team I have ever seen in my lifetime, okay? The 2003, see, I obviously did research for this. That's
tell.
Why I had
I was
the 2000.
Like, where'd you get the 2003?
You like how I had the 2003-43-19 at right at my fingertips? They're the worst team of our lifetime to this point. Now, obviously, there's some teams in the olden days, the, you know, pre-1900 and the 1930s and what that were really bad. But in our lifetime, I think it's clearly the 2003 Tigers. The 2018 Orioles were 47-115. They're up there. The 2019 Tigers, again, 48-114. They're up there. But the 2003 Tigers were still five games worse than the Tigers, four games worse than the Orioles, and just wait. So listen to this. They had an actual winning record in one-run games. They were 19-18 in one-run games and still won 43 games. So they got lucky to win 43 games. They had one pitcher on their staff who pitched, a regular pitcher who had an ERA under five. One pitcher on the entire staff. Like, the 2003 Tigers were epically bad.
Do you know who their GM was?
It was... Not Dabrowski. Was he there? Oh, did he come in? That's hilarious. All right. Well, Dave, there we go. Connection. How about it? That's hilarious. I love the look at you and Tucker. That was good. All right. So here's my case for why the White Sox are actually going to be the worst team of all time or of my lifetime. They're on pace for 24 wins, Jack. Seriously.
Dude, they have 45 runs.
We're 12% of the way through the season. Yeah. So, yes. All right. Ready? So they're batting going into yesterday. I haven't checked, but it's got to be somewhere. 190. As a team.
Not bad.
Okay.
Is he batting leadoff for the Phillies?
Yes. Roman, remember that center field we had? All right. They have 11 home runs as a team. The St. Louis Cardinals have not hit a home run since April 12th. Okay. So what's today? April 22nd. They have not hit a home run since April 12th. They still have two more home runs than the White Sox as a team. The White Sox, all right, this is wild. Ready for this? They have five starters with sub 300 on base percentages. Five! This is even crazier.
Wait,
ready?
300 or 200?
300. Sub 300 on base percentage.
Oh, on base. They mentioned
on base.
Oh, okay. That's
get ready for this, though. They I don't even know if this is possible. They have five starters with sub 200 slugging percentages.
Yeah.
Five starters with sub 200 slugging percentages, and it's six if you go sub 300. Slugging, okay? They have a... So yesterday, I haven't added the... what did they lost 9-2 again? I haven't added it, but they had a minus 65 run differential going into yesterday, so that would make it so they're minus 74, I guess. That's over 20 runs worse than anyone else in baseball. The worst since 1900. So the 2003 Tigers were minus 337. That is almost the worst since 1900. The worst run differential since 1900 was the 1932 Red Sox. They were minus 349. This White Sox team is on pace to go over minus 460 in... Over 120 runs. Like, they are the worst team I've ever seen in my life. That's my take.
And it's like, how do you go to the ballpark every day?
I know.
Like, at some point, don't you think they just turn around?
I know.
Like, yeah.
So, we're calling in sick today.
Yeah, I don't
seriously. So, yeah, I think they're the worst team I've ever seen. Literally, the worst. Like, we always say, oh, no, they're the worst team of our life.
They are, I mean, you look at it, like, poor Robbie Grossman won a World Series last year, and now he's on this
oh
team.
Oh, my God, dude.
Nicky Lopez, Grossman, and they're a bunch of just old scrubs, too. So, like, Pilar.
It is such...
Maldonado, by the way, 0.53 average on the year.
Oh, dude, I know. I mean, you go down the line, 194 OPS. Maldonado has a 194 OPS, not OBP, not slugging, OPS. 194.
How are the 0-3 Tigers that bad?
Look at this. You go down the lineup batting averages. Their leadoff hitter 170. Their two hitter 167. Their three hitter 154. I mean, think about that. That's their top three hitters. They're all sub 200. They're all sub 170.
Do you want to know how bad the 0-3 Tigers were, though?
They were bad.
Do you know who their catcher was that year?
So I just did a bunch of research on them, but I don't remember who their catcher was.
Brandon Inge.
There you go.
Who was definitely their third baseman the following year, so it seems like a problem. They did have my boy Demetri Young, though, who I think is the most underrated, pretty good hitter of like the last.
Big Demetri Young guy.
Dude,
Delman, too. I mean,
he batted 300 that year.
I think Demetri ended up being better than Delman, didn't he?
Yeah, I think.
Well, Delman was Delman the high pros. Yeah, Delman.
Former Phil.
Delman had some issues.
Do you remember the Delman Young Phillies
era? Oh, yeah. But who do you throw the bat? Was that when he was a Philly? No, right?
Well, the only Delman Young.
Or when he tried to hit the umpire, right? Wasn't that right?
Well, his big moment was the double with the Orioles in 13.
Yeah, Demetri had a much better career, I think.
Much
Delman. He never really, Delman was like a top three prospect in the sport.
No, he's massive. Yeah, yeah. That was back when the Rays had all these top prospects and they had no idea what to do with them. Like when they had was it Tim Beckham?
Tim Beckham, yeah, first pick in the draft.
First pick in the draft. Yeah. They had what's his face? They had Josh Harrison too, right? Not Josh Harrison.
The Rangers guy. Yeah, yeah. Josh Hamilton.
Josh Hamilton.
Jeez Louise.
Did his the 08 home run derby with
him. Oh, it was amazing. I mean, the fact that guy had at all a rum was me. He made a bunch of money. Good for him.
He did. And the Angels paid him.
Of course they did.
Dude,
has any team ever... We're talking about this Taiwan guy. the Josh Hamilton thing. The freaking Anthony Rendon contract might be the worst in the history of the sport, dude, legitimately. No, like, in all the teams, you take every contract ever handed out. Like, this one might be the worst.
Off the top of my head. Rendon... Pujols.
And Pujols is like a steal for them. He actually played games.
CJ Wilson.
Yeah, that was a good one.
CJ Wilson. Greinke was there for a minute, but I think that was a trade.
Mm-hmm.
The Josh Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when they paid, my theory, and this is not to take a shot at Sarge, but they paid Gary Matthews.
Oh, yeah, Junior. I remember that.
I think it was just because of that catch. Like, they saw the catch.
Which, to be fair.
It's one of the greatest catches of all
time. No. It is the single greatest catch of all time. Like, if I have to choose one cat, and
did
taking
you see
out
Willie Mays,
taking out, yeah, I like what you did there. Taking out situation, because obviously, like, if you want to say a catch in a big game matters more, that's fine. But just in terms of if you just put the videos up next to each other, I think that Gary Matthews catch is the coolest catch I've ever seen in my life.
Jim Edmonds had a couple.
He did.
Where
he, yeah, I, it's just like it doesn't seem possible, like up and like backwards, and the way he catch, like it just. Look, there are a lot that are close. Like, you know, it's all like we're splitting hairs here. Personally, if I had to pick one greatest catch, I would pick that Gary Matthews.
Can I show my age for 1 second and say, kids out there listening to this podcast, look up the Gary Matthews.
Yeah, good point. Catch. Yeah, look it up. Look it up.
It's an all-timer.
So great.
So, yeah, that's all I got.
That's all I got.
So, I guess later in the week we'll be back.
So the week's kind of actually annoying.
It's a very annoying. It's like the worst possible week.
Yeah,
because
the draft, and then there's a 4-game series, no less.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe we go before the series is over. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Either way, no matter what, Saturday, Green Parrot in Newtown. We will be there 7:30. All, of course, thanks to Miller Lite. Miller Lite, of course, is the official. Sponsor of the Philadelphia Phillies, the sponsor of this podcast, Tastes Like Miller Time Philadelphia, celebrate responsibly. We will be there Saturday night hanging out at the Green Parrot, 7:30 range, hanging for you know, majority of the game, chilling out. I believe Neighbor Dan will be there. He's gonna come.
I
know that, and I'm sure others will. So come hang out. And yeah, we'll be back at some point later in the week with a podcast at some point.
Maybe Taiwan will start Saturday.
Oh, what a thrill.
If you can make it there.
It's a long walk.
Yeah, start walking.
All right. So hopefully we'll see you all there Saturday. We'll have another pod later in the week. What are we hoping for this week? 7 games this week.
Well, I'll take a split in Cincinnati.
I'm sure you will.
Always.
Good work.
Padres, kind of frisky.
Frisky.
I obviously take 2 or 3, but.
Yeah, got 5-2 this week. I will take 4-3. I'm okay with 4-3. Give me 5-2.
I'll take 4-3.
Give me 5-2.
No 3-4.
Exactly. All right. Nothing even worse than that. It's still April. So, all right. We'll be back later in the week somehow. Until then, he's Fritz himself.